1 Corinthians chapter number 2 is our text. I was reading and studying this chapter, and God laid a Bible study on my heart. And I want to preach a message tonight entitled, What School Do You Go To? What school do you go to? And I'm really preaching a message that is going to outline and going to expose your life and the direction of your life. And it's going to expose who is the teacher of your life and what philosophy of life that you are following, or what wisdom. I almost entitled it The School of Wisdom. But all of our lives will follow one or two paths of wisdom. And I think I can show it to you from this book and then encourage you as we go forward. It's designed to be a message that would encourage us and strengthen us and keep us on the right course. If you know anything about the book of 1 Corinthians, it was a book written by the Apostle Paul, and it was written to the church at Corinth. Paul had started this church. In the early stages of this church, man, it was on fire. It was a great church. Matter of the fact, later in 2 Corinthians, Paul reminds the church that it was their zeal and their initial love for the Lord that really opened the doors to churches in the Macedonia region and in others. And what God was doing in the church at Corinth was blazing a trail for God to do in other places. However, the Apostle Paul could not stay there very long. And so after he left, the church began to be infiltrated with not only false teaching, but also sensualism and certain things. But really and truthfully, the church began to be infiltrated with worldliness. And really, when Paul is writing back to this church, okay, so he's been there, he started the church, now he's left, and now he's writing a letter back to them. If you look at chapter 3, verse number 1, you will see the shape of the church. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto what? Carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for ye are yet carnal or fleshly. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" He goes on to give them evidence of their carnality as they begin to faction off and they begin to get behind men. And so really and truthfully, what this church had done was it had allowed worldliness to creep in. Worldliness had brought them from a position of spiritual to a position of carnal. Now they were saved people. Some of them were saved people, but as the worldliness began to get in there, it began to affect them. By the way, worldliness will affect you. Worldliness will affect all of us. If we tolerate the world and their philosophy and their direction, it will infiltrate there. It will have effect in there, and it has the ability to bring me down into a carnal state. And so this was the shape in which this church was in. And really and truthfully, as worldliness began to creep in there, they began to latch on, to turn their eyes away from Christ and His Word and put their eyes on men. And that's chapter 3, verse number 4. "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" They kept following men. "Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase." And so as you move down there forward, Paul is challenging them. He's saying, why you guys got your eyes on men? The only man that matters is Jesus. And so he wants this church to put their eyes on the Lord. So they're in this, they've allowed worldliness to affect them, brought them from spiritual to carnal. Paul's getting ready to tell them that in chapter number 3. He's writing a letter back to them to confront them about some things. And what had happened was, if you pick up now in chapter number 1, and I want you to go to verse number 11, he says, "For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." This is inside the church. "Now this I say, that every one of you say, I am Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other." Okay, so he's confronting them. He says, now we got a problem inside our church. We've got some contention inside our church. And there's some division there. Now, when he left, they were at a spiritual level. They've allowed worldliness to come in. Now they're in a carnal level. And now they're beginning to operate from a vantage point of men. And he's correcting them. Look, if you would, at verse number 17. "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to" what, class? "Preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world?" Now listen to this. "Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of" what? "Of this world." Okay? So, Paul's writing back to a church that he left in a spiritual condition. Now they're in a carnal condition. They got that way, I believe, through worldliness. And now they're following a wisdom that is divisive and a wisdom that is of men. And they're really following a worldly wisdom within this church and within their individual lives. And Paul is reminding them that God hath made the foolishness, or God hath made foolish the wisdom of this world. And so they went from the school of the wisdom of God to the school of the wisdom of the world. And it's having an effect. Now, as he points this out, he moves into chapter number 2. Now, go there, if you would. This is our text tonight, verse number 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of" what, class? "Wisdom. Declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now why? Verse number 5. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of" who? "Men, but in the power of God." Now, here's Paul. Now you got to remember the thought process here. He's writing a letter back to this church that he started. When he came to that church, he didn't come with the wisdom of man or an oratory approach like Apollos. He simply came to that wicked city with the power of God upon his life, and he began to preach the gospel, and people began to get saved. And the Spirit of God began to move, and the Spirit of God moved in such a way that only God could get the glory. So Paul says, now remember, when I was with you, that movement happened. That was the Spirit of God moving so that your faith would not be in any man, but it would be in the power of God. Now, they went from that position to having their faith and their credentials now in the wisdom of men or in the wisdom of this world, and that was taking them the wrong direction. And so Paul says, now, I didn't come with words of man's wisdom. I came in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Do you understand that? Say amen. All right, now look, if you would, at verse number 6. What's the first word? Howbeit, we speak what? Now, that don't even make sense to me. Because he says in verse number 1, when I came to you, I came not with excellent speech or of, what's the word? Wisdom. Okay. Verse number 4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. But he says in verse number 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Howbeit, in verse number 6, we speak wisdom among them that are what? Perfect. Now that word perfect is the word spiritually mature. Okay? So Paul is getting their attention. And what he is saying is, you're not giving me a lot of credentials. You're dividing up and you're going after the wisdom of other men and you're following in a worldly direction. When I came to you with the power of God. It transformed your life. Now don't look at me or hear what I'm saying as it lacking wisdom. Just because I didn't use man's wisdom does not mean I don't have wisdom. Okay? So Paul says, now wait a minute, fellas. Just because you don't think I've got wisdom or I'm not using your wisdom doesn't mean I don't speak wisdom. Matter of fact, carnal fellas, I am speaking wisdom to those that are perfect. So there were a group of people who had an ear to hear wisdom in what Paul was teaching. And Paul was basically, as an apostle, giving them direct revelation from the Spirit of God. So Paul was teaching them the Word of God. Some were dismissing it, but others were hearing in it wisdom. And by the way, there is wisdom in the Word of God. And you better have an ear to hear it. Now let's go through the passage. Verse number 6. Howbeit, we do speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Okay, so Paul says, now we're speaking wisdom, not the wisdom of this world. If you've got a pen or a highlighter, you ought to highlight those words, wisdom of this world, in verse number 6. But we speak the, say it in verse number 7, wisdom of God. So Paul says, there's the wisdom of the world, and there's the wisdom of God. Now I would ask you this question. The title of it is, what school do you go to? What school? What philosophy? What professor? What direction are you going to submit yourself to? Are you going to submit yourself to the wisdom of this world, or are you going to submit yourself to the wisdom of God? Because I submit to you, you cannot take both courses. See, you're either in the wisdom of the world, or you're in the wisdom of God. But these two courses run so opposite of one another that they never connect or cross. So you're going to have to choose one. Keep going. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God hath ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now here's what he's saying. He's saying, now we speak wisdom. Now the wisdom I'm speaking, Paul says, is a mystery. It's a mystery that was hidden, which God ordained before the world unto glory, which no one else knew. Now, in the New Testament, when the Bible uses the word mystery, it's talking about something that's been concealed. It's not a mystery like who done it or where to go or what happened. It's a truth that has been concealed in the Old Testament and revealed in the New Testament. That's what the Apostle Paul considered a mystery. And by the way, the gospel was a mystery. The gospel was somewhat concealed in the Old Testament. It was there. They were saved by grace the way we were. And it was pictured there as you go through the Old Testament and the sacrifices and all that. But it wasn't until the New Testament that the gospel was revealed or opened, and that mystery was there. So that truth being a mystery is something that was concealed and now it is revealed. So Paul is saying to this carnal church, now wait a minute. We were speaking wisdom. Now you may not understand what we were doing because it was concealed and you've not been able to understand it. But we're presenting to you the wisdom that has never changed, or the truth that has never changed. It's been from the foundation of the world. And by the way, that's the truth of the Word of God. So he's teaching them, now we gave you wisdom. Verse number 9, he says, as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. He says, now listen, it's not within man alone to understand God. It's not within man's ability to understand the plan of God. It's not within man's own reasoning to understand the hand of God or what God hath prepared for them that love him. That does not just exist within sinful man. Okay? Now remember, they were spiritual. Now he's referring to them as carnal. Worldliness had brought them to that carnal position. In their carnality, they began to search wisdom of the world through men. And Paul says, now you're searching wisdom through men, but wisdom doesn't reside in man alone. Wisdom resides upon the person of Christ and upon the Word of God. So the natural man or the normal man, he doesn't understand what God hath prepared for them that love him. Look at the very next verse. Verse number 10 begins with what word? But God hath revealed them unto, say it, us. Now, if you're us, say amen. Okay? So Paul says, now, I'm speaking wisdom. I'm speaking wisdom to the man that is perfect. He hears wisdom. You don't understand wisdom. Wisdom's not just within a man and of himself. Wisdom has to be revealed to a man by the Spirit of God. Okay? Remember, chapter 1, or chapter 2, verse number 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the what class? Spirit. All right. So, but God hath revealed them, verse number 10, unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now he gives an illustration. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? So you're having a conversation with somebody, and just because you hear the words coming out of their mouth doesn't mean those are the thoughts that are in their brain. We call it being double-tongued. So So you may tell me you like my suit or my car, but you may be thinking that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. You may tell me, hey, something nice, but I don't know the depth of your heart. But God does. Okay, so Paul says, now, fellas, understand something. You can't even understand the deep things of a man in verse number 11. And he says, now, I also with that, even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the, what are the last three words of that verse? Spirit of God. Okay, so the same way, I don't know the depth of what's in your heart as a man. I have no idea to know your spirit. Only you know that. He's saying there's no way to know the depth of God unless you know it through his spirit. And so man in and of himself does not just have some illumination of God and we know everything about God or where God is or God's direction or God's plan. That doesn't just happen. We cannot know the depth of God without the Spirit of God. So I want to ask you a question. Where's the Spirit of God in your life? Where does the Spirit of God live in you? My heart. When does the Spirit of God come into a man? When he's saved. So, question. True or false? When the rapture happens, a man without the Spirit of God is raptured. Where do people without the Spirit of God spend eternity? Hell. Go do all the good works you want to do. Go save all the whales, all the babies. Go do whatever you can do. Put your ash on your forehead. Go withstand your, humble yourself. Do whatever it is. But unless the Spirit of God is in you, you're not known by God. Okay? So Paul's trying to, he's driving a point, man. He is fed up. Because he left a spiritual church that has become carnal. He left a church that was going after the wisdom of God that is now following the wisdom of men. He left a church unified. Now there's a church divided and going forward. And they can't even handle the teaching of the Word of God. Now they're looking on what they once perceived as wisdom and they're questioning that and they're thinking that wisdom is just coming from the world or from within themselves. And Paul says, no, my friend. Wisdom comes from God. And the only way you're going to know the wisdom of God is through the deep things that the Spirit of God reveals unto you. Look, if you would, at verse number 12. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Now, when did we receive that? When we got saved. If you don't understand verse number 12, you don't understand salvation. If verse number 12 doesn't just make you feel warm and fuzzy, and if verse number 12 doesn't make you understand what you have received, if verse number 12 doesn't make you understand that you used to be lost and now you're found, you used to be a sinner, but now you're a saint saved by the grace of God, if you don't understand the contrast of verse number 12, you don't understand the gospel. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That we might, what's that word? Know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, Paul is preaching to these carnal folks, and he's saying, now listen, fellas, you're saved, right? Well, if you're saved, you ought to live like you're saved. Okay? So you're running after the wisdom of the world. But when you got saved, you didn't receive the wisdom of the world. You received the Spirit of God. Now, if the Spirit of God is in you, then in verse number 12, The Spirit of God is that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. So the Spirit of God that lives inside of me reveals to me and teaches me about the God who lives inside of me and enables me to know the Lord. It enables me to know the way of righteousness. It enables me to know the way of truth. It enables me to know the things of God. And by the way, I'm glad I can know the Bible. How about you? All right. So he moves down in verse number 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the, say his name, Holy Ghost teacheth. Now, hold your hand here. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, look at verse number 15. If ye love me, finish it. Keep my commandments. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. That he may abide with you forever. Now watch this, verse 17. Even the Spirit of, say that word, truth, whom the world cannot receive. Okay. So an unsaved person does not have the Spirit of God in them. The world cannot receive the Spirit of truth. Watch this. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. Now watch the last verse. Or last part. And shall be where? In you. So as a believer, the Spirit of God has come into my heart. He has indwelt my body. He's not only with me, he's in me. And he's the Spirit of truth moving around. Go to chapter 16. Look, if you would, please, at verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will, what's that word? Guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, speaking of Jesus, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And so part of the ministry of the Spirit of God in your life is to guide you, lead you, and teach you in the truth. And the truth then would be the wisdom of God. Now this is what Paul is saying. Paul is saying, now listen, in verse number 13. We didn't come to teach you in the words with man's wisdom. Now don't misunderstand me, Paul says. We came with wisdom, man. And the wisdom we came with had power. It had glory. It transformed your life. Now, you're following over here the wisdom that comes from man, and there's no power in that wisdom. And that power is taken a different direction, but the Spirit of God that lives inside of you, he's the one that's guiding you and leading you into truth. It says in verse 13, which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost is your teacher? Do you even understand that? I mean, have you ever been reading the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God just let you see truth in the Word of God? If that's happened, would you say amen? If that's never happened to you, and you don't sense in your life the presence of God, then you don't understand what salvation is. Look at verse 14. Here's the evidence of that. But the natural man, that word natural man is the unregenerate man or the sinful man. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are what class? Foolishness unto him. So understand what he's saying here. The person that comes to church and sits there and thinks this is just a bunch of hogwash, foolish garbage, you're a natural man. The reason it's foolish and hogwash and garbage to you is because you're not saved. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So the whole world that hates God looks at us and thinks we're foolish, but really and truthfully, they're the lost ones. They're the ones walking in the wisdom of this world. They're the ones that the God of this world has blinded their eyes. So question, why would a Christian follow that wisdom? Paul said, or back to verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are, say those two words, spiritually discerned. And in verse number 13, who discerns spiritual things? Who teaches? The Holy Ghost. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man, which means he doesn't care what man thinks. He's going to spiritually discern. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? No man can do that. But we have the mind of Christ. That ought to make everybody say, to God be the glory. Just think about that. We have the mind of Christ. So, if I'm a believer in Christ and I've been born again, the Spirit of God lives in my heart. He teaches me the things of God. He teaches me the depth of God. He teaches me the Word of God. And so God's people, we're not left without a comforter, or we're not left without a direction. We have the Word of God, which is the mind of Christ. So now you got to ask yourself, which school am I in? Am I living my life underneath the wisdom of man? Or am I living my life on the track of the wisdom of God? Now the world and the men, they're going to look at us and they're going to say, you're foolish. And that's stupid. And that don't make any sense. Right. They're not saved. We don't make sense to an unsaved world. Okay? But I'll tell you what else doesn't make sense. Somebody who says that they're a Christian and in their carnality is following the way of the world, that doesn't make sense. Now, we get pulled and we get challenged on that. And so there's multiple times in our life Where we've got to just kind of anchor our feet in our soul and realize we're on the winning team. We have the truth. We have the mind of God. The world doesn't have the mind of God. I have the mind of God. Do you have the mind of God? So then in every area of my life, I have the wonderful privilege to find God's mind through His Word and the Spirit of God teach me the depth and things of God that I can live this life in the wisdom of God, not in the wisdom of men. And life with God is awesome. Amen? Amen? So Paul's writing here. Now he's writing to a group of people that have surrendered. They went from spiritual to carnal through worldliness. And they're so consumed with the wisdom of men. And Paul says, now wait a minute. I didn't come with you with the wisdom of men. I came with you with the power of God. God's made foolish the wisdom of men. That God lives in your heart. Why in the world would you follow their track and their school? Why don't you stay in his school and follow his path and his word? Every single one of us have to decide what class we're going to take. What class we're going to take. And by the way, the world knows how to make their class look pretty attractive. But I don't know if you found this to be true, but I have found when I follow the way of the world, it usually ends in a catastrophe in my life. The way and the wisdom of God will lead me to peace. It'll lead me to joy. It'll lead me to a tremendous rest and blessing. And if I can encourage you with anything tonight, let's be in the school of the wisdom of God. That means I got to be in the Word of God. That means I got to be submitted to the Spirit of God. That means I can know the mind of Christ and of God on subject, and I can follow as He leads. And let's not be in a carnal position. Let's be in a spiritual position that the Spirit of God will enable us to be in. And God's people said, amen. Shall we pray?